Praise the Lord. What a wonderful song. Thank you. Have a seat. Thank you so much. I love that song. That song means a whole lot to... Thank you. Well, that song means a whole lot to us. We got to hear the tour group travel with them for about 2 weeks. And every night, right before preaching, they sang that song. Always messed me up. So grateful for that. And these are great times that you're living in right now. I hope you don't miss it. I heard Mrs. Moffitt say in class many times, don't miss a thing. And you're in some fabulous, amazing moments in your life. And I hope that you just catch everything that you possibly can. Take your Bibles and go to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, chapter number 18. I'm glad to have my wife and my daughter here with us. I won't make him stand, but get my good friend, Brother Herzl. And he has been such a dear friend to me through these years. And of course, Brother Sunday and Sam and Danielle Gallardo in our Sunday school class, thank you for coming. Thank you, visitors, for being here. You're probably just, what in the world's going on? But I'm glad that you're here. And thank you to Brother Mitchell and our administration just for the opportunity to preach to you. I believe that over the last few days, I was sitting back there and I was catching what Brother King said, and then Brother Anderson said. And I was telling my wife this morning, just before leaving the house, I feel like God is weaving these messages together in his own sweet and special way. And I'm going to preach a message to you. It's a new one for me, but it's been on my heart for about 2-3 years. And in 2 Samuel chapter number 18, the Bible says, look at verse 19. We're going to be in verses 19 to 23. 2 Samuel 18, verse 19 to 23. What a great time this is, and I appreciate everything that's being done for our enjoyment, for a lot of people to have a good time. There's a few people behind the scenes, as our pastor says, and I'm grateful for each of them. So thank them this week. The Bible says, then said Ahimeaz, the son of Zadok, verse 19, let me now run. I want you to catch those words, let me now run, and bear the king's tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Verse 21, then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimeaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing thou that thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, he said, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimeaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. There was a battle going on between David's men and Absalom and his men. There was some division there. We're going to talk about that just for a moment. The battle had been won by David's mighty men. And David at one time was ready to go into battle, but the people said, no, we need you. You're worth a lot more, and you stay behind just in case we need reinforcements. So David stays behind, and after this battle had been won by David's men, David's waiting at the gates of the city. He has no idea who won the battle. He has no idea about his son, and we're going to talk about that division between Absalom and David, but he has no idea, and so they had what they call a runner, and that runner would go and deliver the message to whoever needed to hear that message. And so we find here this character, Ahimeaz, and he asked three times, let me now run. And for some reason, Joab, the general, may have felt that that Ahimeaz was not qualified, or he was not the man for this job. So he chose a man by the name of Cushai, and Cushai sets off towards the gates of the city to deliver the message to David, the results of the battle. But what's interesting is that Ahimeaz asked two times, let me run. And they asked a third time, let me run. And again, I want to emphasize, it wasn't his opportunity at that moment. It wasn't his time yet. He was going to run. He was going to have that opportunity. But Joab felt, it's not your time yet. But he pressed Joab, and finally Joab said, run. I want to say this, at some point in time, you will believe that you are ready for that big opportunity, only to find out that once you arrive, you were not as prepared as you thought you were. Hiles Anderson College is your place of preparation. And while you're here, learn everything you can. Walking with the Lord, I love what Brother Kinsman said last week about that familiar path out behind the trees and behind the buses. I've been there, and I remember that path. I've seen people walk in the woods here and pray. Everybody needs a place, a sweet place where you get alone with God. How to study your Bible. Those are things that you need in your life. How do I get to know God and become familiar with His Word? The roommates that you have, you're going to need to learn how to get along. By the way, if you can't get along with your roommate, how are you going to get along with your spouse? Dr. Hiles said this, there is always a prepared place for a prepared person. So what does the Lord have for you this year? Let's all bow our heads. Father, we need your help. And we come to you. I submit myself to you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Spirit this week. And thank you for all that we've been able to enjoy. And I pray that you'd meet with us in these few minutes that we have. Help me, Lord, to be clear, to be concise. Lord, to deliver the message that you have. I need your power and your presence. Thank you for everyone that's come. Please speak to our hearts in these moments. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. What does the Lord have for you this year? What's he got in store for you? You know, Absalom, going back in time, would you take your Bibles and go to 2 Samuel chapter 13 just for a few minutes? And I'll be quick. I want to give you a quick Bible study and then bring some points, and then we'll wrap it up for the day. But in 2 Samuel 13, we find that Absalom is the third son of David. And he had a half-brother named Amnon. Amnon, as many of you know, had a friend named Jonadab. Amnon had wicked desires in his heart, and I hate to even talk about this, but to give you a little background on this whole story of division between Absalom and David, we find that Absalom's half-brother Amnon devised a plan with Jonadab, and he lusted after his own sister. Wicked situation. And of course we know most of the story is that Jonadab and Amnon conspired, and they worked together, and they devised a wicked plan, and a sin was committed, a great sin was committed. That's all I really want to say about that. If you look at verse number 15, I just want to bring out a quick point here. The Bible says, then Amnon hated her, talking about Tamar, exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise and be gone. And college student, I just want to say something to you this morning, that whatever you're contemplating, whatever it is that's in your heart, that sinful desire, can I just say this to you? You think you need it. You think you have to have it. But after you've partaken of that sin, you know, the punishment and the guilt and the shame is a lot greater than the desire that you had for that sin. And I want to challenge you, you don't need what you're thinking of that's wrong this morning. You don't need that. Listen, ministries are at stake. Marriages are at stake. Your future is at stake. Amnon sent Tamar away, we saw in that passage, and she moved into the house of her brother Absalom. And for 2 years, Absalom's wrath and his bitterness grew. His hatred grew for his half-brother Amnon. In 2 Samuel 13, verses 28 and 29, I don't think I'll have time to read it, but an evil plan was devised. And Absalom said to his servants, when Amnon's heart is merry, that's when I want you to go in and I want you to kill him. And it happened. They killed Amnon. And in fear of his father, David, Absalom flees to Geshur, and he stays there for 3 years. In 2 Samuel 14, verses 21 to 24, and also in verses 28, Joab, David's general, brings Absalom to Jerusalem. And for the space of 2 years, Absalom lived in his own home, unable to enter into the king's presence or to see his face. I want you to look at those verses very quickly. 2 Samuel 14, verse 21. 2 Samuel 14 and verse 21 to 24. And the king said unto Joab, behold, now I have done this thing. Go therefore, bring the young man Absalom again. And Joab fell to the ground on his face and bowed himself and thanked the king. And Joab said, today thy servant knoweth that I have found grace in thy sight, my lord, O king, and that the king hath fulfilled the request of his servant. So Joab arose and went to Geshur. And he brought Absalom to Jerusalem. But I want you to notice this in verse 24. And the king said, let him turn to his own house and let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house and he saw not the king's face. In 2 Samuel 14, verses 32 and 33, before I read that, I want to say this. What do you see that's happening here? Bring him back. I just don't want to see him. We see the signs maybe of bitterness or the beginning of this division. And so we see in verses 32 and 33, look there very quickly. Before I read that, let me just say this. We find some small measure of reconciliation between David and Absalom, but it didn't last. Look at verse 32. And Absalom answered Joab, behold, I sent unto thee, saying, come hither that I may send thee to the king to say, wherefore am I come from Geshur? It hath been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore, let me see the king's face, and if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. So again, we see a small measure of reconciliation. But I want you to go to 2 Samuel 15 and verse 4 very quickly. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 4. Possibly out of bitterness or hurt in how he had been treated by his father, Absalom begins now to undermine David's authority. And he establishes himself as a judge in Jerusalem. Look at verse 4 of 2 Samuel 15. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made a judge in the land. I'll just finish there and let me move on. Look at verse 6, the last part. Says, so Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Look at verse 12 and 13, the very end of verse 12. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Look at verse 13, the last part of that verse. The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. So with this division, with this separation between David and his son Absalom, we begin to see the men take sides, and David prepares in 2 Samuel 18 for a battle. But the people again felt that it was not good for David to stay, to go into battle, but rather to stay behind within the city. And he gives his three generals a command. Look at 2 Samuel 18 and verse 5. 2 Samuel 18 and verse 5. 2 Samuel 18 and verse 5 says, the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. We see here that David's very concerned about his son. This battle takes place in the wood of Ephraim. And the Bible tells us in verse number 7 of chapter 18, look there, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David, and there was a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 9 says, and Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule was under him, went away. Verse 14 and 15, look there. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom. And while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak, and the 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. So we see the tragic end of Absalom. His head catches hold of the trees that were above him. And the animal that he was on took off, but he was left there hanging. Now that the war is over, somebody needs to tell David of the outcome. And in verse 19 in our text, go to verse 19 of 2 Samuel 18. Ahimaaz volunteers to deliver the news to the king. But the news was bittersweet, and Joab chose Cushai instead in verse 20. Cushai maybe was better suited to deliver the message, but Ahimaaz asked two more times, "Let me run," or "Let me now run." And after growing weary of his asking, Joab does give him permission to go. David is seated near the two gates of the city, and he's waiting on word about his son. He's waiting on word about the battle. And the Bible tells us that Ahimaaz runs past Cushai. If you remember, Cushai was let go first. He took off running. But Ahimaaz wanted to run so bad that after he was given permission, he ran so hard and so fast that he even passed up Cushai. And he's set at the forefront, and David's watchman sees Ahimaaz running, and he believes that he's got good tidings. And in verse 28 of 2 Samuel 18, I want you to see this. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, he was even, before he even got there, he was calling out, and he said, "All is well." And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hands against my lord the king." David then asks in verse 29, this is really what David wanted to know. In verse 29, and the king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servant and me, thy servant, I saw great tumult, but I knew not what it was." What happened here? Absalom had died, but Ahimaaz was not really prepared to deliver the message. In turn, he fails to tell David the complete truth. Because of this, I want you to look at verse 30. And the king said unto him, I want you to look at this and picture this. The king said unto him in verse 30 to Ahimaaz, he says, "Turn aside and stand still." In other words, all right, just move aside. And he waits for Cushai. Cushai delivers the message that they had been victorious, but that also David's son had died. You know, it'd be easy to criticize Ahimaaz for his haste. However, I think there are some good qualities in Ahimaaz, good qualities that I admire. Reminds me of some of our college students here that I've seen through the years. I've seen him come with zeal. I've seen him come with a lot of energy. I remember back when I was in school, we had a bunch of guys that sit on the front row here at the college or at the church, and they'd scream and hoop and holler. And only 10 minutes into the sermon, they were asleep in the front row. And it still hasn't changed. But, you know, he had some good qualities. And, you know, some of the guys here, they don't always do things quite right, but they got a zeal within their heart. They got some energy and some qualities that I see in the life of Ahimaaz. Number one, he had a desire. He had a desire. He said, "Let me now run. Let me now run." It reminds me of the early days as a bus captain. Man, I just wanted to build the biggest route and grow and miraculously. And I remember so many times, Dr. Young isn't here, so I'm okay to say this, but he was our bus director at the time. So many times I was in that office, and, you know, I know it's going to go out across the country, but overloading a bus, you know, dropping off behind Willow Court and things like that. Brother Herzl's here. He knows what I'm talking about. And things like that, and missionary stops. Amen. Remember one Sunday night, I was walking in the Jack Hiles Memorial Auditorium, and I remember stepping in there, and one girl, as soon as I walked through the door, you know, the entrance close to the alley, that's our section, our Division 5, the north side. Our section was right over there. And, I remember walking in the doors, and this girl, the first thing, you know, she greets me with is, "You're in trouble." I was a first-year bus captain. She goes, "You're in trouble." I said, "What'd I do?" "Yeah, I just walked in." She goes, "You're in trouble." She never told me what I was in trouble, you know, what I did wrong. I see my good friend, Brother Joe Vasek, and I go over to him. I say, "Hey, what's going on?" He said, "You're in trouble." You know, that was it. "You're in trouble." I go, "What did I do?" He said, just a minute ago, Brother Hiles called your route number from the pulpit. I thought, oh, my soul, the founder of this college, you know, and the great preacher, Dr. Hiles, he called my route number off. I was bringing everybody I could, good, bad. I mean, I wanted people. And two girls were up in the balcony, I guess, that morning, had the bus route 89-11 and red marker. And they had messed around and causing trouble. But you know what? I wanted to build a route. I wanted to build something. I had a zeal. I had a desire. But at times, I didn't quite do things right. I remember last fall, I was in class. In the classroom next to me, I guess there was another class there. And before you know it, I'm teaching. And all of a sudden, I hear this banging on the wall. And the kid in the back row in my class is about ready to fall asleep. And a clock that was on the wall fell down, you know, kind of on the backside of him. I thought, what in the world's going on in that classroom next door? I go around out the door and over the side, and I see this guy, and he's preaching, and he's hitting the wall. And I won't say his name, but his first letter begins with J, and the last part of it begins with Vaughn. And, my first instinct was to say, what are you doing, son? Calm down. Stop hitting the wall. You knocked the clock up. But I realized he's preaching. I said, man, put him in a different room and let him go, you know? But a zeal, a desire, and listen, college student, you need that in your life. He had a desire, a himias. Second of all, I see he had some determination. Of course, we read these verses, but he said three times, he asked three times, let me now run. Joab said, no. He comes again, let me now run. Joab says, why? You don't have a message to deliver. He asked the third time, let me now run. There was some determination in his life. I want to challenge you to determine to finish what you started. I remember the first night on the night bus when we pulled up to the front of the college, the freshman year. I'll let you whistle here. 1987. We pulled in there and our division leader kept preaching. He said, I hope you guys will decide, you freshmen, I hope you'll decide to stay here. He said, why don't we just right now, let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. How many of you will decide you're going to stick it out through the cold days, through the warm days, through the challenging days? You're going to stick it out. You're going to finish. And I remember raising my hand. I really didn't know the impact of that decision. But I raised my hand saying, well, I guess I'll do that. I'll finish. I'll stick it out. You know, it's a great accomplishment to graduate from Hiles Anderson College. It is a wonderful accomplishment. And I want to say this, determined to do this whole thing right through the hot days, the cold days, through the breakups, failed classes, through the homesickness. If you fall down, let me encourage you to get back up, but determined to finish. Now I'm going to pivot just for these closing minutes of the message. Although desire and determination were qualities in Ahimeas, there were some mistakes that Ahimeas made. Three of them very quickly. Number one, you recall he asked three times, let me run. Each time Joab said no. Wasn't his time yet. Number one, he didn't accept Joab's answer. He didn't accept Joab's answer. I want to say to you, you're here to learn. You're not here, and I say this out of the kindness of my heart, you're here to learn, and don't get counsel from each other here. Don't give it. The easiest thing to do is look at your roommate and say, hey, what do you think about this? And he's been down the road as far as you have. But you talk to an older person. You talk to a teacher. You talk to your preacher. You talk to your parents. You talk to your leaders. And when they give you counsel, take it. Trust that God is doing something there. But sometimes I think counsel, we don't like it. We don't like what we're told. Someone may say, I remember Brother Young said it, you could hear a pin drop. Some of you need to take a little bit more time in your college years. And there's a drive and there's an energy. I got to finish. For what? I don't want to be done with school. Hey, listen, you get out of college, the learning doesn't stop. It just increases. And so this race to get out of college, if you're advised and counseled, take your time. Do that. Number one, he didn't take or accept Joab's answer. He didn't take the counsel. He didn't take the instruction. Second of all, he left unprepared. He left unprepared. He was going to deliver the message one day, but that day was not the day he was going to deliver it. And he left unprepared. He went quick. And after three times of asking, Joab just said, go. Let me encourage you, don't rush what God is doing. Don't rush all of this. And God is doing a work in your life that's far greater than you could ever imagine. Number one, he didn't accept Joab's answer. Number two, he left unprepared. This is the saddest one of all. Because he didn't accept Joab's answer, he left unprepared. But thirdly, he failed to deliver the message. He delivered a message, but he didn't deliver the message. And I love what Pastor says to us, all of us, all the way. We don't need any more failures in ministry. Too many times we're in a hurry and a rush, and I don't need this. I can finish online, or I can do this. I don't need any of this. I'm ready to go. And I'm glad you feel like that. But are you really ready to go? I'm going to throw some things out at you this morning. One of these days, you're going to have to deliver the news that a loved one has passed away. Are you ready to deliver that? One of these days, you'll be in ministry and you'll have to go to a family's home and provide comfort to a grieving family and help with the funeral. Are you prepared for that? One of these days, you'll be asked to counsel a couple that is close to divorce. Would you know enough scripture? Would you know enough Bible principles to be able to help them with that? One of these days, you'll need to talk someone out of committing suicide. One of these days, you'll be asked, and you're not even a parent, but you'll be asked to give parental advice. One of these days, men, you'll be called to pastor, and you'll have to come up with three sermons, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, along with studying for a Sunday school lesson. Are you prepared for that? One of these days, you'll be called to administer over a staff. You'll be a school principal, a youth pastor, a teacher, a missionary. One day, you'll be called even to oversee a building program. Are you prepared? One of these days, you'll counsel with somebody, a minor maybe, who has been abused. And in a situation with a minor, you'll need to know how to handle the matter in accordance to law. One of these days, you'll have to deal with a wayward teenager, plan a big day. One of these days, you'll be called upon to answer some of life's toughest questions. Why did God take my child? Why did my wife have to die of cancer? Why did God have to take my father? These are some of the things that you will face in ministry. But if you have this desire, I'm going to get in and get out. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the zeal and the determination. But if you're like Ahimeaz, let me now run. I'm ready. And Joab said, you're not. You will run someday, but not today. And I ask you college students right now, I know some of you have a desire to just take off and go. And again, I commend you for that, but stay with it right now. This is the time. This is your preparation time. This is your moment. And you take every advantage of it. I'll quit with this. For these 9 years, I don't know how to say this, and I've prayed about it. For these 9 years I've been in this ministry, I had the opportunity to pastor almost 11 years. And for these 9 years, at 53 years of age, I sometimes have felt as if I've been busy here serving the Lord in a lot of different ways. I'll be honest with you. I feel like in my mind, I've sat on the bench in a certain sense saying, Coach, let me now run. Let me now run. Give me a church, God. Let me now run. I'm ready. I'm ready. Just let me go. And even at 53 years of age, I realize that God is still teaching me some things. And listen, if God is teaching me at this age, God is teaching you. He's speaking to you today. Oh, I want to go. I want to get out of here. I want to go. What are you going to go to if you're not prepared? Let me now run. Let me now run. Let me just finish with this. Trust God in this whole process. You don't understand it. You don't get it. It doesn't make sense. But you trust God. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We need the Lord's help today. Maybe you're in that situation today. You barely got here and you're ready to go and set the woods on fire, and I'm glad about that. But you need your English classes. You need personal evangelism. You need your education classes. In just a moment, the piano will play. God's dealing with your heart. I want to go. Let me run. I'm getting out of here. No, you just stay put. As the music's playing, if God is speaking to your heart this afternoon, why don't you yield to Him? Say, Lord, I'm here, and I'm all in. I'm staying. Just like that fall night on the night bus in front of the college, here's my hand. I'll stay with it. I'll stick it out. I'll be faithful. I'll learn every lesson that I need to learn. I'll take every bit of correction that needs to be administered in my life. I remember many nights getting off the night bus and getting scolded maybe at times. And I always stuck my hand out to my division leader. I said, thank you. Somewhere along the line, I figured, you know what? He's telling me for a reason. He's helping me. You know, college student, the Lord is helping you too. He's working in your heart. Don't push that correction away, but trust the process. Let God do a work in your heart. Are there others? I'm not going to belabor this, but are there others that God's dealing with? You're saying, man, you just sit there and I don't think I need this. You're the one that He's probably speaking to the most. Don't let this opportunity go. We just breeze through it. Take advantage of everything that's offered here. As I said at the beginning, don't miss a thing. Trust the process. Sad story about Ahimeaz. He was told basically, when he kind of floundered on the message, just step aside. Let Cushai come and deliver it. He was prepared. I want you to get prepared this year.